love the smell of movies in the morning.
It's Beer Movies, thanks to Mezze Bar, your source for all things NZIFF, thanks to the best place to go before or after.
From one of the greatest albums this country's ever produced. From one of our greatest bands, that is Afro Surprise from Head Like a Hole, from the album 13. With me in the studio, Julien Boucher. Julien Boucher, who is the director and...
Hey, but if you went to a state school, Julien Boucher.
Julien Boucher to you, mate. All right, Julien. We'll call you Julien, shall we? Julien is the director and creator of a documentary. It's going to be screening once only at the film festival at the stage, Swagger of Thieves, which is the story of Head Like a Hole, a fly-on-the-wall documentary, and literally a fly on so many walls for so long. Julien, do you want to tell us, firstly, how you came about to start filming a documentary on Head Like a Hole? How many years ago?
Well, probably we started shooting about 10 years ago.
Yep.
It was a fragmented process. I finished shooting and then I couldn't cope. I put all of the media, the tapes, the cassettes, the XD cam discs into a box, and I put them away for 3 years.
Yeah.
Because it was too monumental. I'd shot about 12 terabytes with material.
What made you start filming? What was the thing that first...
Oh, well, I was always into doing music videos. So as you know, I did Wet Rubber and several videos for several bands after that, you know, spanning several years. After a while, I was looking for something a bit more substantial, you know, a feature-length project. And Head Like a Hole, well, I had maintained...
It turns out, a feature-length project.
I had maintained a good relationship with them over 20-odd years. And, you know, who else would you want to make a film about in this country?
I just want to get in my little two cents about me in there.
Yeah, yeah.
About the Wet Rubber video, because originally when you made that video, it was banned and no one would play it.
That's right, and you were hosting Havoc on MTV.
That's right, and we played it under
the umbrella of TVNZ.
Yeah,
and you played because it was banned. You protested against that ban.
We sure did, rightfully so.
You played it 2 weeks in a row.
That's right. That's right.
Excellent.
And rightfully so.
Thank you.
And rightfully so.
Did you get in trouble?
And then no.
Not in those days.
I don't think so. If I did, I've just blanked it out. But we were able to do that, which was because we loved Taylor Holman, because it was a great video. It was a groundbreaking video, actually. There was a lot of effort went into that video. And so then from then on, you amassed 12 terabytes of footage, put it in the box, couldn't live without it. And then what?
Well, I had a couple of friends saying, you know, you've got to do something about it. My father was constantly saying, you know, the tomatoes are going to go rotten on the vine.
Is that the analogy?
That was the analogy. So we got it together. Well, no, I got it together. I bought an edit suite, got an editor. We commenced. We've been editing for a year and a half, two nights a week. Beer,
much
beer, too many cigarettes, too many takeaways.
Wow.
Because that's a lot of footage.
Well, and also there was no plan. I mean, there was a plan, but, in the back of my mind, I was dealing with chaos. That was the reality, you know.
So as were the band, you know.
Oh, God, is that my phone?
That's your phone.
It's all during
your live radio interview.
sorry.
That's
Julian's
passing.
Jacket here, listeners.
That song still holds its
shit. Yes,
it's got legs, isn't it? So from knowing Head Like a Hole for that long, you've obviously we've watched the documentary, Sarah, haven't we?
Yes, we're very lucky.
And it's like no other documentary of any New Zealand band I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I can say that categorically.
Hyperbole.
No, if you thought the She Had one was confronting and brought a few issues to the fore, then holy shit, stand by.
There's a level of access and a level of honesty which I don't think I've seen in any music documentary before. It's pretty special.
I also think the luxury of time.
I've
had the luxury of time, which means, you know, we have, I mean, some scenes we've looked at, you know, 15 to 20 times, recut, deleted, added.
I mean, I can only imagine what didn't get in the movie. But the guy, it's interesting. We're talking to you about it. What about the guys in the band and the ex-members of the band, you know, over the various incarnations of Head Like a Hole, which is a still operating band to this day, officially?
They played live on Drive not so long ago.
That's right. And they're still writing music. This definitely shows the highs and lows, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The film transcends, you know, 20 odd years, and in that 20 odd years there has been a degree of pathology and chaos and good times and great humour, great life, but also, you know, battles with ageing and addiction and struggling within the New Zealand music industry. Well, it's all there.
This is what I walked away from it. I saw a microscope on a certain way that things can go, and when you decide that you want to start a band and become a big famous band, you know, there's just a myriad of different paths you can go down, and this is definitely one of them. And as I said, like I said to you at the screening, I think it essentially turns out to be a love story between the two Nigels.
That's
you know,
right.
It turns out between two great friends who have got this great vision together, and somehow that vision still holds through the most harrowing and testing of times. There's probably the most. I don't want to chuck in spoilers, but there's some of the greatest live moments of a band you've ever seen, you know, and the energy that follows the band around and that they created, and some of the most depressing, harrowing moments of drug use and drug dependency and that sort of thing. That's
for listeners who may not be that au fait with Head Like a Hole. How would you describe their live show, both back in the day? Well, let's start with back in the day. Because it was a sight.
I knew Booger from. I met him. He went to school with my girlfriend at the time at art school. I met him a few years before, and he sort of was talking about starting a band up. And then when his band started up, they came out to Auckland, and they were at the Glue Pot, and there was like 25 people there, and Nigel Regan was in the nude, but not in the nude. He was in Glad wrap strapped around different parts of him with pieces of citrus fruit. Under the Glad wrap, but pretty much in the nude. And
what were you saying the other day? Kind of like a ham.
Yeah, like a Christmas ham. Yeah, but the music, like that last song we just played, that was off their first album, and I've still got the tape that they gave away at the door, the cassette tape they gave away at the door at that gig, and they're amazing. They wrote great music. They write great music.
I think their music lives, and I think that the sound of 13, it's incredible. You know, it was recorded in 3 or 4 days. It was done by Brent McLaughlin in Wellington.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I describe that sound as being kind of like a wet sound. The production is just beautiful.
But as a band, they were sort of they were a little bit artier than Faith No More. They were a little bit heavier than
very experimental. Very experimental.
Yeah. Very don't give a fuckish.
Yeah.
And which is what we were all looking for at the time. You know, it was exactly what the New Zealand punters were after. And the fans that still follow them today are dedicated. Yeah, and so that's why they want to do tours. That's why they want to keep playing. And in the documentary, you were right in there, man. You were like right in there during family arguments, during arguments, you know, like moments, filming moments, which I would have not let you film if it was my band.
Yeah, well, I've come and gone over the years. I mean,
there's obviously a massive amount of trust for you.
Yeah, well, we've become friends. And, you know, I've done a few music videos for them, and we have mutual friends, and especially my relationship with Booger and Nigel is pretty close. And you know, as the old saying goes, I mean, you know, eventually they did forget about the camera. So I was there with a camera, but I wasn't there with a camera.
So how do you do that sort of thing? How do you be involved there and not get roped into the conversation and not get roped into the argument or have to take sides, or you know, when you're in a room with such big volatile personalities who are so intimately.
Yeah, well, I think it's about just being there and then sort of, you know, backing off into the background when possibly something's going to happen. I mean, most of the time you're not recording, you're just, you know, standing around drinking beer with them, but you know, the documentary encompasses three tours. And a lot of their domestic life and some of their work life. So, you know, I was with them, you know, for a lot of time over, you know, several years.
It's a beautiful portrait of how those three different things you just mentioned intertwine, because if you're a punter, you only really ever see one, with hints of domestic and other types of work, but this is very much a portrait of those.
Yeah, well,
I wanted the film
to have a fresh approach. You know, like I didn't want to copy previous films. I didn't want it to be a paint by numbers thing. I think the beauty of this film is I went for no funding. It's all off my own back, so there were no conditions attached to this film. There was no deadline.
Did you ever find yourself in a situation where you thought, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, the money, I've got trying to survive, I can't do this feature film that I've been wanting to do all this?
Well, it was quite a solitary affair. I mean on some of the shoots.
Just to survive, you would have had to do other jobs, obviously, other work that you would have been involved in.
Well, yeah, I run a business in Auckland. I'd have to sort of pack up and you know, fly down to Wellington for a few days and I go and stay with Booger and sort of ignore my business. You know, I mean, that was kind of hard. And there were many times where I did want to give up, but I got to a point financially and emotionally and, you know, there was no way I could give up.
That's awesome.
You know, I just couldn't do it.
The cutting. I can't imagine how much going through all that much footage and to decide what was good and what was bad and what needed to be in the film, what needed to be taken out of the film.
It was very difficult.
You know, especially to try and be objective about it. You know, to try and look at it from with fresh eyes all the time after your eyes were so unfresh.
It was very difficult. The guy that I had collaborated with, my editor. Well, an editor I work with for a lot of the music videos I did over the years, I got him and Eddie Larson. We don't have a volatile relationship, but we're very good at, you know,
honest critique,
tense negotiations, and you know, most of the time we're on the same page. So we work well as a team, sorting out what narrative path we're going to take.
Yeah.
What's worth staying? What's going to be discarded? So the problem with Eddie is he smokes too many cigarettes, which means I'm going to smoke a couple of cigarettes. And you know, when you've been doing that for a year and a half, you know, it sort of takes its toll.
Right, sure.
So there's been sacrifice in order to get this film on
screen. There's been a lot of sacrifice. Yeah, a lot of late nights.
It's going to be screened. The world premiere is going to be at the Civic as part of the film festival on July 20th. We're going to give away a couple of tickets to that premiere very shortly. But now that it's over, is it freaky that it's over?
It is a bit freaky. It's been a big part of my life.
Yeah. Do you risk your relationship with the band falling away now, or does this make it stronger? Is this cathartic in a sense for?
Oh, well, you know, I've sort of been wondering, you know, what's going to be the status of the band in 10 years from now?
Still going, hopefully.
Does that mean you have to go back?
Well,
Part two.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
Still rolling. Are you still rolling? Is that what we're saying? Are you still rolling?
No.
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 No. No.
No. No. All right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? What do you think?
Hey, we're backpedaling here.
But I mean, it must be. That's an amazing project to have to just say finished.
It's an amazing project in the sense of achievement. Personal achievement is massive. As I can't believe I've finished it. I can't believe I'm sitting here with you guys talking about it.
Because
you know, for 10 years I've been lying in bed at 3 a.m. going, oh, we should do this, we should do that. Am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it was picked up by the festival, the fact that there's a hell of a lot of interest in it.
Yeah.
The assessments and the reviews so far have been incredible. For me personally, 10 years has not been a waste of time.
Awesome.
Well, the film festival, Tamsin, which is Booger, who's Booger's wife, has said the film's a bit brutal but very truthful. That's Booger's wife, who features a lot in the film, and you know, who's almost the star in the film.
It's good to have a female perspective.
Yeah,
hey Sarah.
No, hey guys.
Yeah,
and the International Film Festival responded to the trailer with what? What did they say to it?
The trailer.
Yeah. Apparently, people very high up. I don't know whether this.
Do you know what? I think New Zealand needs a film about a white dumb rock band. This is a film about a dumb white rock band.
It's more than that, though.
Fantastic.
It's more than that, though. It's you know, you follow one particular dream, and it's going to have hard. It's a hard slog, you know.
The film to me is bigger than the band. If you're not a fan of Head Like a Hole, if you don't know their music, it doesn't matter. It's totally still a great film for you.
Come and see what happens to a band that does really well in a tiny little market like New Zealand and wants to keep writing music. Because it's as simple as that. But it's not as simple as that, is it? It's a very, very complex and very emotional movie.
We're being very oblique, but it's
well, I don't
want to
ruin it. I don't want to ruin it.
No spoilers.
You're going to see stuff that's you may judge these gentlemen, but they don't worry. They've been judging you anyway. So started.
That's right. Yes.
Hey.
It is an emotional film. I mean, you know their story.
Yeah.
You know, in reference to Gerald.
Yeah.
And,
oh, that hurts. Yeah,
and
yeah,
sad. Yeah. And she had.
Yep.
Their story is it's worth telling.
Yep. It's so the movie's called Swagger of Thieves. Julian is the director. Congratulations on the movie.
Thanks, Mike.
It's sensational. I'm still running it through my head every night.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And I wish all the best for the premiere and the question, the Q&A. It's going to be afterwards too. So exactly.
This is your warm up. You did fine. It's
all you have to do is tell us the name of the very first Head Like a Hole album. You need to phone in right now, 309-3879, and you can win a double pass to that premiere.
Head Like a Hole on the screen.
Hole documentary on screen at the Civic. Strap in for the whole shebang.
Buy a ticket. 2,500 seats to be sold.
Da, 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 da. I wouldn't mind lifting that up for it. I don't need to. BFM. Good morning.
Definitely one of the best albums ever, from my personal taste. 13 it is.
Yay! 13 is correct, Pedro. Congratulations. You are our winner. You'll be going along to that. Stay there. We'll get all your details. Julian, thank you so much for coming in. I'd love to see you again, see you whenever you need to see us.
Thanks for having me, Mike and Sarah.
Oh, good.
Great.
Here's the Swagger of Thieves being a massive success. And so once it's at the film festival, where does it go from there?
Well, you know, we're hoping for a nationwide theatrical release, but that depends upon the prevailing winds.
All right.
So, yeah.
May the prevailing winds blow in your favour, sir.
Thank you.
This is Spanish Goat Dancer by Head Like a Hole. Head Like a Hole's documentary, Swagger of Thieves, at the film festival, July 20th. Buy your tickets. Roll up, roll up. Comes highly recommended by us. I remember when that song came out, I remember thinking, thank God someone has written a song about Spanish Goat Dancer. Because it seemed like a thing, you know?
Also one of the great album titles, Flick Yourself Off Yourself.
Well, we've all done it. Someone said here they supported Red Hot Chili Peppers and blew them out of the stratosphere. That is absolutely right, Grizzy. That is absolutely right. That's when I realised the Red Hot Chili Peppers were ass. Anyway, Jemina's on the side. Jemina, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank
and
you.
And as we continue our discussion about the International Film Festival, you're going to review the movie Risk.
I am indeed, yeah. So I watched that at the end of the last week, and I've just been kind of mulling over what the heck I should say about it this morning. Yeah. Have both of you seen Citizen Four?
I have.
Yeah, so very similar style to this.
Same director.
Citizen Four, in case the listeners don't know, is a documentary about Edward Snowden, made by the same woman who made this documentary, which is about Julian Assange.
And the Snowden one worked on Edward Snowden, sort of got in contact with her and said, look, I'm about to drop all this stuff and I need someone to document it in case something happens and make sure the information gets out truthfully and honestly. So she's a woman of considerable trust.
Exactly.
In that community, whatever that community is.
Yeah, so in similar vein to Citizen Four, it's quite information heavy, moves quite slowly, and a lot of this information people might not totally understand unless they're 100% clued in with most of the stuff WikiLeaks and Assange have been involved with over the past 10 years or so.
Assange is the guy who founded WikiLeaks.
Yes, yeah. But I think I quickly realised that this wasn't the point of the film. The film just kind of highlighted the type of person he is. So he's extremely intelligent and thoughtful in the way that he thinks about the purpose of his actions in an almost philosophical sort of way. But then at the same time, it's also really apparent that he thinks very highly of himself and is just kind of a raging megalomaniac and has a messiah complex.
Yeah. I guess hard to be that person and not have a messiah complex. I'm not excusing it, but I'm just saying, you know, when you look at how much influence being that person does, wield.
It's a little bit chicken and egg, right? I mean,
whoever's going to be in that position, if, you know, should it?
So they say, what is the disproportionate ratio of psychopaths in the Fortune 500? That kind of thing.
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So how, like, but what, where he's different to someone like Snowden? I don't know. I think this Citizen Four was painted in a lot more of a flattering picture about Snowden. Because they simply think, because that was also a portrait in some ways of Snowden himself. But
Snowden,
it really,
at the time, Snowden was terrified as well.
Yeah, you know, drew a real big distinction that Julian Assange just kind of almost just thrives off the sense of power and his own ego, whereas I think Snowden is quite distinct from that and that doesn't play so much into it. But yeah, so this documentary that's been filmed over the course of a little bit over 10 years and it's basically Laura Poitras had unprecedented access to following Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks kind of operations.
So unprecedented access to the embassy and just wandering around the embassy.
It starts before that, which is
almost interesting. And then Laura Poitras also addresses this, that she says at some point throughout the movie in a voiceover that she doesn't know why she has so much access to Julian's life, because she thinks he doesn't even like her that much. Right. But then I think that in itself reveals something about him, and that he likes being watched.
Something about his vanity.
It's almost ironic. A sense of vanity and kind of narcissism, and that you can kind of tell that he almost performs to the camera, like his eyes often sort of dart to the camera throughout the film. So He kind of likes it all.
Did you like him?
No.
Like him. It's interesting. No, you see, that's what I mean. So that doesn't do it for you.
No,
the idea that he knew what was going on and working the room, it didn't do it for you.
There's a weird smugness to it, though. Without giving too much away, Poitras has picked certain scenes that she was allowed to film where he's kind of getting waited on by all of his staff, who mean very well and have, freedom of information as one of their main priorities. But then he becomes, as you were saying, a kind of messiah of this idea. Yeah, it gets quite crunchy and awkward.
And to be clear, like Laura is very much on board with the vision of WikiLeaks and with some of the work that they've done, and that she set out, I think, to be, you know, she agreed with a lot of what Assange was doing, but then as time went on, because obviously she's been filming him over a really long period, she actually says this quote in another voiceover that she thought she could ignore the contradictions and that they were not part of the story, but that she was wrong, that they are becoming the story. So it's very much that she's obviously shifted her position on him and is a little bit, and this is clear in the final product of this documentary, is that it's actually quite critical. And this is actually quite a different documentary to what the one that aired initially at Cannes last year.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently that was a lot more flattering of him.
Oh, wow.
But she updated the film include the stuff about the Clinton email leaks.
Yeah, that's not a good kind of insinuation, is it?
Yeah.
If you're vain to the point where you don't stop to question why you're being given the information you're being given and why certain people might want it out at a certain time.
It's handy that it's in there, though, isn't it, for us viewers? Yes. So Risk is on at the New Zealand Film Festival, New Zealand International Film Festival. As you say, it's quite a weird movie. Would you recommend it? What's your review?
I would recommend it. I think I went in kind of having made up my mind about Assange already, because I've read a lot about all of this, and I've jumped off the Assange train a little while ago anyway, right. So none of it really surprised me, but I think it would
reached
be
your stop,
I think it were. Yeah. Yeah, I think it would, it's definitely a good watch for anybody who's interested in WikiLeaks and about the founder and who might agree with some of the work that he's done, because this is definitely like quite a critical look at this figure who's played such a big role in, I don't know, a lot of like world politics since the emergence of WikiLeaks. Yeah.
And also, just for listeners that aren't completely au fait with Assange, after the first huge round of US government leaked documents, he was accused of sexual assault by two women in Sweden.
Yeah. Which is why he's hanging out in an embassy.
Yeah, so to be extradited to Sweden to face those claims, the Assange camp thought he would then be taken to the US, which is not an ignorant idea. So he, in the film, claims asylum at the Ecuadorian embassy, where he has still to this day and has been for the past 5 years. And the current Ecuadorian presidential hopeful has been saying that if he gets in, he will quote unquote ask Mr. Assange to leave.
See what happens then. But the movie's quite up to date, and it's going to be showing on July 21st at the Event Cinemas Queen Street, July 22nd at Event Cinemas Queen Street, July 24th at the Hollywood in Avondale, August 1st at the Rialto in Newmarket, and August 2nd at the Rialto in Newmarket. That's Risk. Thank you, Jamina.
You're welcome.
Oh. You've been listening to B Movies, thanks to Metze Bar.